Hello, and welcome to the American Marketing Association's Marketing Power Podcast on social marketing to the business customer. I'm your host, Nancy Bacala, Director of Online Content for the AMA, and we're very excited to welcome our special guest, Paul Gillen, to the program. Paul is the co-author of his fourth book, Social Marketing to the Business Customer. He's a veteran technology journalist, author, speaker, and founding editor of online publisher TechTarget. In addition to his three books on online communities, Paul has written hundreds of articles and logged more than 200 radio and television appearances on media outlets such as CBS, CNN, the BBC, NPR, Fox, and MSNBC. Previously, he was editor-in-chief and executive editor of the technology weekly Computer World. If you want to know what Paul is up to, you can find him on Twitter at pgillen, and you can also read his blog posts at paulgillen.com. Paul, welcome to the program, and thank you so much for being with us today.
Oh, pleasure is all mine, thank you, Nancy. Thank you.
Sure. Well, Paul, I wanted to start out with what should be a very simple question, but my guesses may not be, which is, what do you see as the value of social media in general to B2Bs today?
Well, it's information. And when you think of it, B2B transactions have a very high information component. B2B companies often put a lot of time, a lot of research into making decisions because they want to choose strategic suppliers whom they're going to be with for a long time. And even after that decision is made, the information requirements are substantial. It's why B2B companies so often send so many of their people to conferences, to user group conferences, to meetings hosted by the strategic vendors they use. So considering the large amount of information that's endemic in B2B purchases, the tools of publishing that are now so cheap and easy today for businesses to use are a natural way to solidify that those information-based relationships.
Great. And, there are kind of a number of myths out there, I think, when it comes to social media in B2B. We hear certainly lots and lots about how it plays in the B2C space. But, it seems to me that some folks focus on the fact that it's really not for B2B, or at least not to the extent it is for B2C. And I'm wondering what your take is on that. And we know that social media tools are available to everyone, but the tactics used by B2B and B2C vary greatly. And if you could tell us a little bit about what you see the tactics are for B2B that would differ than the ones that are being in B2C.
Well, you're correct that there's a perception out there that social media is not for B2B, but it's kind of an ironic assumption because the first innovators in social media, and we're going back to 2004, 2005 now when blogging was really just becoming a phenomenon, the first big innovators were B2B companies. They were technology companies like Sun and Microsoft and IBM that were using blogs in a very large way to communicate directly to the business customers they wanted to reach. In fact, today, some of the most active and the best companies in using all forms of social media are B2B. Dell is often held up as an example. Well, Dell does 80% of its business with other businesses. Microsoft has a massive social media presence, and it is essentially a B2B company. In fact, Google, who many people would think of as being a consumer-focused company, generates all of its revenue from other businesses, and it is a very innovative user of B2B services. So what's different is that the tools that seem to work in a B2B context are quite different from in a consumer scenario. For example, the social network LinkedIn, which is very little used in consumer marketing, is the favored social network by B2B marketers. Twitter, which has not really caught on in the consumer channels, is very popular with B2B companies, particularly people in the communications profession. And blogging, which is seen as being kind of over the hill in many ways in the broad consumer context, is the core communications vehicle by which B2B companies communicate. Practically, I mean, all the high-tech companies have massive blog presences, and we see this in practically every B2B company of any size right now has multiple blogs serving their business customers. And finally, podcasts, which have not really been a huge commercial factor in the consumer markets, are very popular and very successful in B2B markets. Virtually every, again, B2B high-tech company has an active podcast program, and we see with companies or with organizations like the AMA, you know, this podcast is a very good way to reach people who are busy and who have high information needs but can't necessarily be sitting down and reading all the time. So the tools are quite different, but I don't think that the usage is any less intensive in B2B scenarios.
I think that's a good point, because I think too often nowadays when we're talking about social media, we're just focusing on those big three channels, but really there's a number of social media tools out there that can be used to engage your business customers that aren't really being acknowledged as well. Also, you know, in B2C, we hear an awful lot about, a key element of a successful social media strategy is really around engaging brand advocates, fans, followers, influencers. How does this concept translate to the B2B world?
Well, it translates on, you don't see the volume of influencer marketing in B2B, but the benefit of a good influencer program is much greater, and that is because B2B buyers, and there's research to multiple research studies support this, are very dependent upon word of mouth references for to narrow their decision lists. That's one reason why companies like Gartner, for example, are so influential in the technology industries, because they know what different buyers are buying. They essentially are a hub of information for chief information officers. In fact, in one survey we cited in the book, 84% of B2B decision makers cited peer recommendation as being the most important factor in buying decisions. So good word of mouth, as communicated through online communities, through dedicated online communities, or even just through a Twitter question and answer or LinkedIn question and answer, can be enormously influential. And go into a LinkedIn group, for sales or marketing or engineering or technology, and look at how many people are asking questions here. Can anyone recommend experts in this area or companies that can help me with this problem? These are people going directly to others they trust, to their peers, and looking for recommendations, because it is so much safer to make choices based upon decisions that other people have made and have been happy with. So I think it's absolutely a critical factor in business decision making.
Absolutely. Since lead generation, of course, is so critical to the success of B2B organizations today, can you talk a little bit about how B2Bs, and particularly their sales force, can make use of social media, to enhance that lead generation performance?
Well, social media really disrupts the traditional lead generation cycle that most companies are familiar with, because it pushes actually a lot of lead generation responsibility back into marketing. So what salespeople have traditionally done through cold calling or working lists or sort of the traditional lead prospecting is now being moved into marketing, where these tools are used to form richer and better qualified relationships, so that by the time the prospect moves into the sales channel, that person, we know much more about that person. So it's disrupting it in two ways. One is the trend toward what's called inbound marketing, and I know that's something that you've focused on in the past, which is a combination of search engine optimization, but also inbound links from others. So generating leads that you didn't specifically go out and look for. And that's a whole new kind of lead generation. The leads come to you. You don't actually go and ask them. And there are tools that range from website optimization to an effective influencer marketing campaign that can create really a whole new channel of leads that didn't exist just 5 years ago. Then there is traditional outbound marketing, which is also being transformed through tools like LinkedIn, which enable us to go out and find people who have a need, because they're expressing that need in some kind of an outbound channel, or in the case of tools like Jigsaw or like NetProspects, where we actually can combine social data with publicly available data and identify likely prospects based upon a much richer collection of information about what they may be looking for. So marketing is becoming, I think, more focused and more qualified. The quality of lead generation should be much higher in companies that are doing it right, because there's simply less cold calling and less just throwing darts at a dartboard.
Now, that's a really great point, I think. you know, recently Rick Siegel, who's the president of Gyro HSR, was at a conference, and I'm sure you've heard this bandied about in the press, that he said that he believed B2B marketing was dead due to the emergence of smartphones and mobile usage in particular. I'm wondering what your take is on this. Where do you think, you know, marketing is dead, or do B2Bs just need to reinvent it by utilizing social media tools that are available today?
Well, I think the lines are growing fuzzier because of a trend that some people are calling consumerization. You know, recently, I'm sure many of your listeners will be familiar with a program called the IBM Jeopardy Challenge, which was carried out in mid-February, pitting a computer against the two top Jeopardy champions, and the computer beat them rather soundly. And there was a huge amount of media attention to this, over 1,500 articles I counted in mainstream media during the 3 days that program went on, and a lot of social media components, so over 35 videos that IBM created and put online, a lot of blogger activity, a lot of Twitter activity, a whole social component to that campaign. And when you look at it, you say, well, that was a consumer phenomenon, but hey, guess what? IBM does 100% of its business with other businesses. IBM does not have a consumer business. So the people that IBM was trying to reach were other businesses, but they were using consumer channels to do that. And I think what we're seeing now is through consumerization that the lines between the traditional lines of reaching business professionals, which have been primarily through trade media and trade events, are beginning to stray over into popular culture because we need to find people wherever they are. We actually have the means now to know with a higher degree of precision where people are. So I don't think B2B marketing is going away, but it is merging with B2C marketing in some interesting new ways.
Right. You know, kind of dovetailing on that, in your book, you address the importance of selecting the right platforms and the process for doing so. And I'm wondering where you think some B2Bs are going wrong still in this selection process, and what would your best piece of advice be for B2Bs who are just beginning this process?
Best piece of advice is do not start with the platform. And that is the most common mistake I think companies make. I still hear this all the time. We want to get into blogging, or we want to get into Twitter. How do we do it? And my first response is, well, why do you want to get into blogging or Twitter? What is the strategic value of that to your sales or your customer support program? Maybe that's actually not a good thing for you to do. Maybe you shouldn't be in social media at all. And we make that point rather emphatically early on in the book. We are not advocating that companies use social media. We are advocating that companies use social media if they have a strategic foundation that that dictates that that is a good idea. We actually have a four-step process that we walk them through that begins with the business goal and moves back through measurements and tactics. And finally, the last stage is choosing the tool. So that really is the most common mistake I see companies make. Another common mistake, I think, is just treating social media as another channel. Treating it as another kind of PR newswire, for example. No interactivity, no engagement, no effort to have conversations. And that tactic, it pretty much always fails because it's not using the medium for what it's intended for. The Internet is a two-way medium. And if you don't use it as a two-way medium, people are going to tune out rather quickly.
Absolutely. That's a great point. You know, when we hear case studies of B2Bs that are using social media effectively, you know, typically we are focusing on those large technology product companies such as Dell or Intel. But are there certain B2B categories where social media won't work, or which makes it just much more challenging for a company?
Well, sure. I mean, I say that if you can count your customers on your fingers and toes, And you still have a good business, then probably social media, you know, your best tool of social media is the golf course. It's not a blog. Because you have the means to interact on a one-on-one basis meaningfully with your customers all the time. There are certain old line industries where I think, social media the uptake is much slower, and these would be industries, we see this in heavy manufacturing a lot, we see it in some, traditional industries, agriculture, for example, even process control, heavy equipment, where the people who are buying those products are not very active online, and so you're going to be frustrated in trying to reach them through those channels because they still are primarily using the phone, and they're going to conferences, and that works in those areas, and that's probably going to work for some years still. So I would say that the newer industries, the technology industries, small business-oriented industries, where you are likely to have a stronger online, where the audience is younger and is more online savvy, are going to move more quickly to social channels, and others won't. But that's okay, because, again, the goal is not to use social media. The goal is to use the means of communication that work best for the customer.
Right. You know, it seems to be one element of social media strategy, whether it's B2B or B2C, that's really critical is on content development. But what kind of content do you think works well for B2Bs in social media? And what advice do you have for business organizations who are sort of now looking at the creation of a content strategy for this, when maybe, prior to that, all they had were your, direct mail pieces or brochures and weren't really focusing on that?
It's fascinating how the content equation has changed. It used to be that the size of your advertising budget was very important in how you reach B2B buyers. But, of course, so many of the publications have gone now. 10 years ago, the technology publications alone, aiming at IT buyers, were producing over 1,000 pages of content in magazines every week. Almost all those magazines are gone now. We're down to on the order of maybe 100 pages that's being produced in print now. So the size of your advertising budget is much less influential. But there's been this explosion of companies in social media. So simply being in social media is not a differentiator anymore. You have to be noticeable. You have to do something remarkable. And for consumer companies, that often comes down to something funny or gimmicky or just kind of crazy. The Old Spice Man was a brilliant marketing campaign for a consumer company, but that wouldn't work in B2B. In B2B, it's be useful. Give people tools that they can use to make decisions. Give them information that they didn't have or that they would have had to pay for in the past. These are the new dynamics of competition in B2B marketing, and it means that you have to shift away from the tightly packaged elevator pitch and more toward how do I take the intellectual assets of this company and package it in such a way that people will be attracted to doing business with me because they think that we really know what we're doing. And that's a shift, and that's I think you're going to see a huge investment in content marketing in the coming years as companies realize that that is really the only way to attract buyers in these new social channels.
Right. Last question, Paul. What would you say would be the top three steps B2Bs can take who really want to get serious about engaging their customers or prospects in social media?
Well, the first thing you should do is start listening. And we tell you in the book how to build a dashboard, a social media dashboard that aggregates some of the channels where you're most likely to hear conversations. And just get a sense of the lay of the land. What are your customers talking about? What needs are they expressing? What do they think of you? What do they think of your competition? Second would be to choose a platform by which you can most meaningfully communicate. And this is if you choose a social media platform, again. For a company that has a need to communicate in depth, a blog is probably a good bet. It has excellent search engine optimization. It's a long form of discourse. You can get into depth on a blog in a way that you can't through other tools. Other companies may find that a Twitter feed or a community of some sort is more effective. So if you have customers or prospects who have needs to support themselves, if there's a lot of technical nuance, they need to ask each other a lot of questions, then a community is probably going to be more effective for you. The third thing I would say is be persistent. Customer communities, we describe this in some detail in the book, they do not take off quickly. It often is 2 or 3 years before a customer community really acquires a head of steam and becomes self-sustaining. The same thing with a blog. You'll see in the first 3 to 6 months with a blog, you'll be disappointed in the results you get. In the first year, though, you'll look back after a year and be impressed with how far you moved if you really stick with it. So don't expect immediate results. Be persistent. Be frequent. Keep at it. And then a year down the road, I think you will look back and say, this was a good investment.
That's really great advice, Paul. Thank you. Well, these have been really great insights about a new way of looking at how B2B organizations can utilize social media to engage their business customers. We've been talking to Paul Gillen today, and thank you for joining us, and thank you for listening to this edition of our AMA podcast series. I hope it's been a good learning and listening experience for you. Look for information on other upcoming podcasts by visiting marketingpower.com/podcast. Make sure you sign up for our feed on Marketing Power so you're aware of all the podcast series available to you. And for information about the book, Social Marketing to the Business Customer, and how to purchase a copy, visit the online AMA bookstore. Until next time, I've been your host, Nancy Pacala, and thank you for joining us.